All right, we are in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 23. I'm sorry, it's actually supposed to be 13 through 2:3. All right, I left a colon out there. So anyway, we will read that. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for, praise the Lord. Bible says, therefore, would you say therefore?
Therefore?
That means because of. We'll talk about that when we get into this. Therefore, because of, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Amen?
Amen.
Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Does that sound good?
Amen.
Amen. We need something that we can stand on forever. Bible continues, says, and this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, another therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Lord, we do know that you are good. Lord, we do know that you come and visit us here this morning. We do know that you have plans for each person in here, from Alex dancing around the back room. I'm sorry, from Isaac dancing around. I would be concerned if Alex was dancing around in the back room. That's Isaac's father. Lord, we want to just, all kidding aside, Lord, put our focus on you for this next period of time, Lord, that we would hear from you. Message from heaven, Lord. Transform our hearts. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
And led worship this morning. Well done, Miss Ann. Thank you very much. Thank you, worship team, for filling in. My wife is gone. She left for Northern California last Monday, drove up to L.A., picked up her sister. Tuesday morning, drove all the way up to Santa Cruz. And it was like a 10, 12-hour trip. And was there with my mom, and they were hanging out. She went and saw her friend. She's up in Sacramento. Saw her old buds, and they're just having a great old time. So you can pray, traveling mercies, that she would come back, because she's coming back. And we've been doing pretty good. We've been doing okay. Lisa Gade fed us meatloaf beginning of the week. You know, I've been trying to avoid meatloaf for years, and I have meatloaf twice in a week. You know, I mean, you can ask somebody about the story I shared last week. I won't trouble with you with it again, but so we've been doing okay, but Leanne has been traipsing around the house, kind of dropping these little hints. Hey, we got to do some stuff before Mom gets back. Because, hey, if Lisa came back right now, I'll tell you what, we would be happy. I don't know how happy Lisa would be, because our house is not ready for Lisa to come back. So she might not be real happy. Because Because Lisa is coming back on Tuesday, it's going to change what we do today. Got that? I mean, we're going to have like a little work day after church today. And now Peter is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, that he too is coming back. Amen? Amen. And because he is coming back, what we do today should be different as well.
That's right.
Am I tracking with anybody here? See, yeah. Lisa's coming back, so we are going to do some stuff today to get ready. Peter is saying Jesus is coming back, so we better be doing some stuff to get ready. Title of today's message is Ready for the Return. Now we're going to take a look at that. Amen? Are we good? Are we happy? Are we okay? Praise the Lord. All right. Therefore, talk about that word, therefore. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope. Say hope, would you?
Hope.
Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. When Jesus comes back, get ready for change. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, change is going to come. Amen? Now, I said that, therefore, since, because of, we can take a look back a couple of verses. We talked about this last week, verse 11. Because of what? Because of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And what Peter is referencing, again, he's writing maybe 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus indeed suffered on the cross for you and I. Amen? He suffered on the cross for all of these residents, these Christians that were living in modern-day Turkey that were under persecution. And he said he didn't just suffer on the cross, but in 3 days he was raised from the dead. Right? So we have the suffering and the glories that followed that suffering. Okay? Because of what has happened in the past, we need to change what's going on today. Amen?
Amen.
Then he continues on and he says that there is stuff that is coming. He says that we have a hope. That last week we talked about in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, the blessed hope that we have is that Jesus is indeed coming back for us. So, young people, youth, old people, older people, some people as old as me, because of what Christ did and because of what Christ is going to do, our actions today should be different. Amen? We need to get a new perspective. And what Peter says is prepare your minds for action. Now, what does that look like to you? I see these youth. Sometimes they come into my class on Wednesday night and it does not appear that their minds are prepared for action, right? Now, I was trying to get an image of being alert and prepared for action, and I came up with that. And that is a lion that is stalking its prey. And you see, this lion is down low. I mean, it is low, right? And it is creeping, ready to go after its prey. And that is a picture of self-control. Every muscle under control of that female lion, who's a hunting lion, look at those muscles just bunched, everything just ready to spring. Do you get that picture when it says, set your minds for action? That lioness's mind is prepared to pounce. Amen? And so Peter says, because of what Christ did on the cross, and because of what is going to happen when he returns, that we should live our lives like that. Ready. Prepare. For action. For change. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, looks like me. All right. As obedient children, do not this is now, he's given us a picture of what this change, of what we're supposed to be mentally preparing for, the transformation, this is what it's going to look like. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. When you were ignorant. Right? When you were ignorant. But just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. And the new is not like the old. The new you is not like the old you. See, Isaac back there jumping up and down. That's the way some of us lived our lives, jumping up and down. And when he is changed and when he's ready, he's going to come out of that room. He's not going to be jumping around anymore. And what Peter is saying is there should be a similar change that goes on in you, a similar transformation, that you should be looking for that change, looking for that transformation. You should be mentally prepared and looking for it. And what he says, I want you to be self-controlled. I want you to control your behavior. And he says, you need to be holy. And holy means to be separated. That you need to be separated unto God and separated away from what? All that old stuff that you used to do. Be ready. Be thinking about it. He says, don't be ignorant. Don't be untrained. That's what ignorant means. You have not been trained. You used to live ignorant, untrained lives. Now you live a trained life. That you have come out of darkness into light, and the Lord is imparting knowledge to you so that you can make better choices. How many of you guys struggle with those choices? Hey, at least you know what they are now. Before, you were ignorant, and you were doing bad stuff, and you didn't even know it was bad. You didn't know how bad it was. You only thought it was a little bad. You didn't. You're good at being bad. Some of us, like me, I, if I had a chance to be good, I'd be bad instead just because I like being bad. He says, don't be controlled by your evil desires. You control them, right? You got that, like that lioness, man, self-control, ready. You know, you control your body. You control the actions. The Lord is imparting this knowledge, and with this knowledge comes options. With this knowledge comes better choices that you get to make. You know, this is what I used to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. And the difference is that training. That difference is that maturity. That difference is the ability to know the right choice and make the right choice. Amen?
Amen.
See, we are supposed to be that cat. Now, I got another picture for you. You think about a hunter. And that's actually, this is a bow hunter, and it's actually a lady. I don't know if you can tell. But as you are, I mean, it's one thing to go out with a gun that you can shoot 500 yards and kill whatever you're going to kill. It's another thing to go out with a bow and arrow, all dressed up in camouflage. And my friend does hunt bows now. And he told me this one time that he was drawn down on this deer, and the deer was looking right at him. And he couldn't shoot him. And the reason he couldn't shoot him is because the deer would see the arrow coming at him and jump out of the way. So he is holding this bow. It's a compound bow. It's a little work to hold that thing back, right? He's holding that thing until it stops looking at him. You tell me that takes some self-control? See, as we get that picture of that lion, and as we get the picture of this lady shooting bows, that is the picture that Peter would draw for us of what our lives are supposed to be like. He's saying, look, God is imparting new wisdom and new understanding and new knowledge to you. You need to apply that to your life. It needs to be controlled because it used to be out of control. Amen?
Amen.
Why do you do that? Because Jesus is coming back. I'll tell you what. Myself and my kids, we're going to have a nice controlled afternoon today. Why? Because Lisa is coming back, and we are going to get ready. All right. You're not on your own. I mean, I'll tell you what, we are sold in this culture, in our culture, not so much in other cultures. In our culture, hey, you do whatever you want. You grow up, you can be anything you want. You can be the president. You can do, you know, you can be the president of a company. You can do make money. You can do all kinds of stuff. You are your own. God says you're not your own. He says, since you call upon a father, Peter says, since you call upon a father who judges. Like, wait a minute, if I'm on my own, I'm gonna be, what is this judge stuff? Don't be judging me. I'll tell you what, you are going to be judged. There's a test at the end. What? It's like a final. You take a final on your life. How many of you guys like finals? Love finals. Oh, yeah. Nobody likes finals. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, that means you can't buy him off. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Have your minds prepared for action. Take that action and put it into self-control. Why? So you can pass the test at the end. God doesn't show favorites. Paul gives us a picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 says, if any man builds on this foundation, talking about the teachings of Christ, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, it will be shown for what it is on that day. All right, so Paul is saying, hey, you got the teachings of Christ, you got Christ's sacrifice on the cross applied to your life, transformation that happens, and you're going to begin to build on that new foundation, which is Christ. Amen? Some of you guys are going to do good work, some of you guys are going to do lousy work. On judgment day, fire is going to evaluate your work. Some of it's going to be wood, hay, and straw. It's going to burn up like that. He says, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Not just if you got it, but how good is what you are doing? Is it using your mind? Are you prepared? Are you doing good work? Are you taking that word of truth and put it into application? He's going, got to be happy with this. He's a merciful God. He's going to cut me slack. I got heaven down. He says, if what he has built survives that fire, that judgment, he will receive his reward. How many people want a reward? I want a reward. Glory to God, I want a reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. When? On judgment day, when you stand before God. Pastor Scott, teacher, I'm sure he's had tons of kids come up to him and go, Mr. God, hey, here's my report. And it was just trash. I mean, it's not even worth my time to read this. It is just, and that person just, please, oh, look. You're going to stand before the creator of the universe. And he's going to evaluate your whole life. And some will suffer loss. They won't have anything. Everything that they have built will be burnt up in an instant. And it says, what he has built survives, will receive reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through flames. And Peter says, oh my, you better live your lives here in reverent fear because Lisa is coming back on Tuesday. Jesus is coming back and your entire life will be evaluated with fire. He shows no impartiality. He's not going to say, hey, hook me up, Jesus. No, man. Sorry. It's judgment day. Not playing any favorites today. Because of that, things should be different. Jesus says, hey, you can handle this. Pastor Scott in his classes would be teaching his children how to write write reports that would not be garbage. Jesus talks in the Gospel of John. Says, John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? He's the root, right? There's a stem coming off the root. If a man remains in me, King James has abides in me, it's a cool word there. Man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you could do nothing. See, John gives us a different picture of that same evaluation. He says, at the end, there's going to be fruit. And my question for you today is, have you got some? We all know what fruit is. Apples, oranges, bananas, peaches, plums. You got some? Are you making some? Because our Lord is looking for a return on his investment. And he has invested in you. So my question is, what do you have today? What are you growing today? What are you producing today? Because if you're in Jesus, John says, if you are in Jesus, you will have something. You look down and go, oh, I got a couple bananas, a couple oranges. I'm good. I can do better. I'm working on better, but I got something. If you ain't got nothing, if there's no change in your life, you have to question whether or not you truly are in Christ Jesus today. And Peter says, whoa, you're not in Christ. You really better be worried. Are you tracking with me?
Amen.
So we got to be ready. We got to be ready for the return. And I want anybody to be surprised and say, Pastor Bob never told me. I'll go back, hey, don't you remember April 14th? But you know, realistically, I tell you guys all the time because I want you to be ready. And it's our job. One of the things we talk about is we develop people. You want to grow closer to the Lord, we want to help you. You want to have some fruit, we have opportunities for you to be planted, to grow up, and to receive a reward from God for the work that you do. That's our job for you. We need you to step up to the plate and do what? Be ready. Have your mind ready for action. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go. We're doing okay today?
Good.
You're freaking me out, Pastor. All right, let's keep going. All right. Verse 18 through 21. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed or purchased from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead, glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. God is invested in you. God has invested the blood of his Son into you, his precious blood. And this blood of Jesus breaks the cycle of sin that has been passed down from Adam to Abel to all of his sons, all the way down to us. Jesus comes in and says, by my sacrifice, I will set you free. Isn't that good?
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God. It was Adam who brought death, and it is Jesus who brings life.
Amen.
Now, I brought this up and touched on it. The path to God is opened by Jesus. But it is not a pretty path. It is covered with the blood of Jesus. Now, we live in a sanitary time. I mean, all right. Come on. Shatter anybody's imagine or picture of me, but when I was a kid, man, I come from ranchers, man. We in my backyard, we used to raise rabbits, man. I was the butcher. You know what? It's not a pretty thing. But we don't know about that. We go and we buy our chickens in plastic wrappers. And our steaks are all cut up. And they got those little foamy, I don't know what they are. They suck up all the funky looking stuff on the pack and you just throw that away. And everything is so sanitary. But you know what? You read the Old Testament. We went through Deuteronomy in the fall. And it was not a pretty place. I mean, it was opulent. You'd read about the tabernacle, gold all over everything. But you know what they were doing every day? They were killing animals. They were sacrificing animals. They would take the blood and all this fancy, ornate gold stuff. They'd take the blood and they'd put some here and they'd put some there and they'd do this and they'd do this. And you know what the priests were wearing? Linen. How many of you ladies want to go slaughter a cow wearing linen? I mean, how many of you ladies even wear linen? It's so hard to clean. My old roommate's girlfriend, she got this linen dress. I thought, this is the most goofy looking dress I've seen. I'll tell you what, and she got it. She sat down. Oh, man, that thing was wrinkled. Tall, get out. So can you imagine these priests in wrinkled linen slaughtering animals? What that looks like? Well, let me help you. Because that is a lamb. And that is a lamb being slaughtered. And you know what? That is even rather antiseptic because there is just a lot of blood that is involved, and there's a lot of blood that was involved in the temple. And the guys that were doing it were wearing white linen, and it was a display of the cost of sin. And Peter says, because of what? Because of the sacrifice of Christ. What you do today should be different. Now, I know I'm leaving this up here and freaking some of you out. But in the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, the majority of the sacrifice would be given back to the offerer. And these were poor folks. They did not eat a ton of meat. And when you brought your sacrifice of your lamb or your ox or your whatever, they would take some parts and they would give it back to you. And you would cook that stuff up. And you would have a celebration. And your family and your friends would gather around and in the aftermath of this is a celebration. Because there would be, hey, sacrifice has been made. Let's get together and let's have a meal and celebrate the sacrifice. Are you tracking with me on this? And so Jesus says, because what? We're talking about what Jesus did and what Jesus is going to do. And Jesus says, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody would open that door, I'll come in and do what? Eat with him. See, Christ made the sacrifice, and then there's going to be a celebration when he comes back. And we get a picture of how heinous our sin is and the cost of that sin. But how glorious the celebration is going to be. Are we tracking?
Yes.
All right. We're almost done. Now that you have purified yourself. Well, that's a big statement. We'll come back to that. By obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. Obedience changes everything. Talk about having your mind ready. Having your mind ready to be obedient to the Word of God. Now, there's two ways to look at this. Purification. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another. And you're thinking, man, purification is tough enough. I'm not getting to this love thing, man. I mean, this is too much for me. And the other thing is like, I don't know about this purification thing. I'm just going to skip the whole purification thing and go to love. Right? No, man. They go hand in hand. There's like a little pathway. You get from obedience to God's word and truth and righteousness. You be obedient to God's word. Then you will be purified from all that bad stuff you used to do. and then it'll move you right in to love. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. See, Peter is talking about the stuff that we got to do. You got some stuff. And you are going to be evaluated at the end of the line on how you did. You're going to be evaluated on what you did. Don't get me wrong. The blood of Jesus cleanses your soul. Can I get a witness on that? But when you come to the Lord, their body's still a little bit dirty. Amen? And he's saying, hey, you got some stuff on your side of the fence that you got to be working on. And you're going to work on that through obedience. Obedience to the Word of God. It is that Word of truth that moves you out of ignorance. Check it out. Oops, wrong button. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Underline it in your Bible, memorize it. All Scripture is God-breathed. What are we talking about here, folks? We're talking about the Word of the Lord. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Those are all big words, right? Massage is not there. Word of God is, all Scripture is God-breathed and used for massaging you and making you feel. No, that's not there. Words there are teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God, so that the woman of God, so that the teenager of God, so that the old person of God, so that anybody who comes into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as his mighty God and King can be thoroughly, not partially, completely equipped for every good work. What are you going to be evaluated on Judgment Day? What you did. Every what? Good work. You want to be ready to do that stuff? You get into the Word of God. Abide in me. Abide in what? My truth. And you will bear much fruit. You see how that all works together, folks? God invested his son's life into you and is expecting you to act like it, to understand it, to have your minds ready to act. Are we good? Last thing. Therefore, again, like, man, I got enough therefores today already, Pastor. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The new life has new food. New life has new ways. Now, Paul is talking, he's not talking about real milk. He's talking about spiritual milk. All right? And he's talking about making a shift in your life, finding new things that you can put a focus on. Now, to make room for that new stuff, you got to get rid of the old stuff. Like what? Malice and slander. Now, it's the first one. Slander's the last one. You know, Ann, would you come up and just play me a little something soft? We're going to do a little bit different here at the end, but malice and slander. That is an attack. Malice is wanting to do somebody harm. Slander is lying on somebody to do somebody harm. Now, when you want to get even, I mean, that can just grate on you. Bible talks about the root of bitterness growing up, and that bitter spirit would defile many. To attack that, to counteract that, to that new spiritual wholeness that you have, or that new truth, forgiveness. You can take that person. It's not like you're just going to, no, I can't let them off the hook. You're not letting them off the hook. You're going to turn them over to God. You're going to turn them over to God and say, God, this person is messing with me. I'm going to turn them over to you. I'm going to let you deal with them. I'm going to begin to pray for them. You need to begin to look out for them. Deceit and hypocrisy. That's lying to get ahead. That hypocrisy is putting on a front so you can get over on people. Own what you are. Be who you are. If something's got to change, own it. Confess it to God. Say, God, I'm so messed up. I've been lying for so long because I don't want to look at myself. Have you been there? Oh, I was there for 30 years. Get high just to cover what I felt about myself. Get over on people so I can feel good about me. Own yourself. When you own yourself, ask God, God, I'm so messed up. He said, finally, you're not ignorant. Now you know the truth. Yeah, you're messed up. But I died on the cross for you, and I'll guide you into fullness. Third thing he said that will get in your way is envy. When you want the other guy's stuff, when you want that model on TV's shoes or handbag or car or whatever, God says, be content with what I've given you. Because when you're just content with what I've given you, you're really just content with me. And you're never going to find that fullness in your life. So we're talking about that bitterness that comes from resentment, from unforgiveness. We're talking about that discontentment with yourself when you're lying and you're being a hypocrite. We're talking about that envy. Paul says, I have learned to be content in every situation. So what's getting in your way today? What's standing between you and that fullness in God, that new spiritual nurture? Because I talked about five things. One of them could be a real problem for you. All five might be a problem for you. But we got some solutions right now. Let's just pray. Lord, malice, slander, deceit. We got some good deceivers around here, Lord. Our culture is filled with deception, hypocrites. Say one thing and do something else. And oh, that we could just have what the other guy has. Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. You're saying, oh, you finally figured it out. You finally heard my voice. I've been talking to you for a while. You got some barriers in your life. They're keeping the fruit down, knocking it off the branches. I so want you to have this great reward. I so want you to have this great testimony of my work in you. For that to happen, you're going to have to be self-controlled and deal with the slander, the malice. Could be hypocrisy, could be deceit, could be envy. You're here this morning and the Lord is speaking right to your heart and he's saying, time to go to work. Time to be ready for action. Time to be ready for my return. And right now, it's kind of messy. Let's clean up. Because I'm coming back soon. No one's looking around. The Lord is just speaking to your heart. And he's saying, you know exactly what is muddying your life. And this morning, you say, thank you, Peter, for bringing this to my mind, to bringing this to my awareness. And I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to confess this to God. I'm going to admit this to God. And I'm going to just ask, Lord, for your help. Cleaning this up. I'll do my end. I could use some help. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is just speaking to your heart this morning. I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I don't want to be muddy anymore. I don't want to be convoluted. I don't want to have just fuzzy stuff in my life, Lord. I want to be focused on your pathway, covered with blood. Lord, I want to make it to that celebration, Lord. I want to do the work that I need to do, Lord. I just pray right now. See hands up all over the place. You're here this morning. The Lord is just speaking to your heart. He's saying, this is for you. You need to do a work. You need to admit to me that you hear my voice this morning. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, here I am, God. I am going to be busy. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else, Lord? Each person here, Lord. Each person here, Lord. I just pray. I'm going to ask you to do one thing before I pray. Before you leave here today, I want you to tell somebody what the Lord is talking to you about. Somebody comes and talks to you about that. I want you to ask that person the next time you see them after today, how's it going with the envy? How's it going with the hypocrisy? And as you see them over the next weeks and months, how's it going? How's it going? How's your victory? And I want you to pray for that person. So, Lord Jesus, for each person, Lord, that you have spoken to this morning, Lord, that you have shown what is in the way, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you speak to each one of us here, Lord, that you have spoken to those, that you have given them the direction of their transformation, the barriers that are between them and good fruit. And I ask right now, Lord, that you solidify that in their soul and that you give somebody to speak to about that before they leave this place today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. All right, I got three little things for you and we'll be gone. Talked about that spiritual milk. Richard, there we go, yeah. Say, where do I get spiritual milk? I don't know where this is. Well, number one, a Bible reading plan. I was going to print some out. And I did not today. I will print some out as soon as I leave right now, and I will have them downstairs. I'm going to put them on that red counter down there. A Bible reading plan, talk about the truth of God that is useful for training, rebuking, training, correcting, and all righteousness. Get into the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Second thing, Richard, I got two more, so don't be changing anything. Prayer, okay? I'm telling you. Last night, with 27 people here, it was incredible. It was just incredible. The power and the presence of God was mighty in this place. Next, second Saturday, it's going to be like the 10th or something, come. Every Sunday morning at 9:45, right there in that room, Pastor Paul leads prayer. Come. 9:30, get a cup of coffee, slam the coffee, come up here. That 10 minutes of power. It can change your life. It can be that spiritual milk, that new food for a new life. Maybe you aren't coming on Wednesdays. You should start. Find a way to make it happen. Shift your time. Shift your hours. Pastor Paul has got a great study going on. Come and be part of that. Last thing, you're coming on Wednesdays. Do the fast. Fasting one meal a week is just a start, but it's better than not starting. Amen? You start on that. I'll tell you what, you get in the Word, you get in prayer, and you fast once a week, you will look like an entirely different person come next September. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, would you? Worship team's going to sing a song. Remember, you put your hand up. Tell somebody today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. And praise the Lord.